Kate Farr and everything now, and Hall & Oates out of touch to start the hour. 8:15, the full English breakfast show. The risk of serious illness linked to alcohol can be dramatically reduced by ending binge drinking and switching from consuming spirits or beer to having wine with food 3 or 4 times a week, according to a new study. No more Apero then.
Yeah, that was mine.
The analysis of the drinking habits of more than 300,000 people found that those who regularly consume spirits or beer and cider had a higher risk of outcomes ranging from liver cirrhosis to death than those who drink comparable qualities of wine. And the study by Glasgow University found that drinking alcohol without food also resulted in a 10% increase in risk of significant illness such as heart problems. Can you not have an Apero with a few nuts and stuff, does it?
Well, you can, but aren't they just saying to drink wine rather than beer and spirits?
No, they're saying to drink it with a meal. Overall, the scientists found that short of giving up alcohol altogether, the maximum benefit came from spreading consumption across 3 to 4 days a week rather than daily or binge drinking. Our researchers said their work could be useful in allowing doctors and clinicians to give tailored advice to people on how to adopt healthier drinking habits. The study, published in the journal BMC Medicine, found that fewer than half of regular drinkers said they stuck to public health guidelines for low-risk drinking. Dr. Batush Jani, senior lecturer in general practice at Glasgow University, said other ways to further lower health risks might be to spread consumption over the course of 3 or 4 days, while being careful not to increase overall intake, and consider opting for red or white wine and drinking with meals where possible. He said more research is needed, but these findings are important as they could allow health professionals to give patients tailored advice on various ways that they can reduce the harm of their alcohol consumption.
You could have it with a Scotch egg.
No
more. Glass of wine with a Scotch egg.
No more 4 pints than a kebab then.
No. But a glass of wine and a Scotch egg, if the Scotch egg is an essential meal.
Red or white?
White.
What, with a Scotch egg?
Why not?
Yeah.
No,
difficult
doesn't
one.
Tickle your fancy.
Glass of champagne, maybe. Researchers funded by the NHS in Scotland and the Medical Research Council found that binge consumption squeezed into a short number of days also had serious side effects compared to spreading the same amounts of alcohol over 3 or 4 days. Heavy drinking over 1 to 2 days resulted in a 14% increase in cardiovascular illness. Treat people with kindness, Sarah.
All the time. Oh, I'm always very kind. The year is 1992 in the UK, when Neil Kinnock, Labour leader, denied reports that he had a Kremlin connection during the 1980s.
And fell in the sea in Brighton.
Buckingham Palace. It wasn't a good year for him, was it? But Buckingham Palace announced that Duke and Duchess of York were to separate after just 6 years of marriage. Bob Geldof was arrested after disturbance on a Boeing 727, which had been grounded for 5 hours at Stansted Airport.
Bob.
Liverpool won the FA Cup for the 5th time, beating... Do you know who they beat?
82?
92.
Oh, 92. Everton.
Sunderland. Oh. 2-0 in the Wembley final. Italian supercar manufacturer Ferrari announced that its Formula One division would be designing and manufacturing cars in the UK. And the cone hotline was introduced, enabling members of the public in the UK to complain about traffic cones being deployed on a road for no apparent reason.
Alan Partridge.
But question number one, British female solo artist of the Brit Awards to 1992 went to who? Was it Annie Lennox, Beverly Craven, Kathy Dennis, Zoe or Lisa Stansfield?
Lisa Stansfield.
Correct. Question number two, in the album charts, Simply Red had continued success with Stars, which would prove to be the second best-selling album of the 90s and the best of 91 and 92, although none of its singles reached number one. The title track Stars peaked at number 8, with all others making the top 40. And Shakespeare's Sister had a hit with which song, which was the longest chart topper of 1992, holding onto the number one slot for 8 weeks.
Stay.
Correct. And finally, the first new number one single of the year in 1992 in the UK was which track by Wet Wet Wet?
Love Is All Around.
No. Is that your final answer?
Wishing I Was Lucky?
No.
92.
Starts off with a ooh. I'm not doing that. Ooh. No.
Suits you.
Ooh. It does start off with a
ooh.
Ooh. Ooh.
Ooh. No, I don't know.
Good night, girl.
Right.
Don't you remember the beginning? You can sing. Go on, sing it.
Oh, I can't remember the how it goes.
Ooh, 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 ooh. Well, not like that, you know, but somebody who can sing like yourself or Alan Roberts would be able to do it.
Ooh.
Oh, it's ah, not ooh.
Ah. I lost my bra. I think the elastic stretched too far.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hope you're obeying the lockdown regulations, are you?
I am obeying the lockdown regulations and doing a good job of it. I have to say, not everyone is, and there's been somewhat of a backlash here in the UK and whether we need to strengthen some of those measures. I was somewhere, not this weekend gone, but the previous weekend, and to be honest, I was shocked about how many people weren't wearing masks, to be honest with you, just for no apparent reason. Now, obviously, some people are exempt from that, but clearly it's not the numbers of people who aren't doing it, and certainly the government putting pressure on operators, particularly the supermarkets, to say no mask, no shopping.
Although the police have said they won't enforce it.
Well, I think they are moving to a more enforcement phase, it has to be
said. Not in supermarkets, though.
Well, so far it's been guidance as opposed to the law. I think it changes to the law maybe tomorrow, is my understanding of it. So perhaps that'll give them greater ability to step in and do it. But it appears certainly one of the big areas that the virus can transfer to other people is within that supermarket setting.
See, Boris Johnson got into a bit of trouble for going for a bike ride 7 miles away from Downing Street, which, quite frankly, is a bit unfair. I mean, leaving aside Mr. Johnson's shortcomings, I mean, you can hardly cycle out of Downing Street down the Mall, can he?
Well, it's probably a little bit quieter than it normally is, given the lack of tourists, the lack of movement that's been taking place. Again, the great debate is what is the law and what is the guidance and how should it be enforced and when? So, and within England compared to Scotland and Wales, for example. So all these sort of discrepancies, anomalies, make it very difficult for people to truly understand the rules, even those in charge. And sort of any discrepancy when you're at that level is somewhat highlighted, as you'd probably expect.
Well, the guidelines are there for people to follow, you know, and social distancing and all the rest of it, be sensible. But there are always going to be some people who don't, you know, that illegal rave you had at your house the other night.
An illegal rave. I don't think I've ever been to an illegal rave. I don't think I've ever been to a rave, let alone an illegal one, it has to be said. The question is, what constitutes local? There isn't a definition of exactly what that means. I mean, one man's local is another one's, you know, off-patch sort of foray into the wilderness. So it's, it comes down to, I think, a little bit of common sense. I don't think we can go too far with the idea that a 7 mile bike ride has destroyed the credibility of the government. Maybe a trip to Barnard Castle is seen as somewhat different.
Especially to get your eyes tested. True. Okay, US markets feeling the pressure a bit yesterday. Political turmoil engulfing Washington, and of course, the backdrop of rising coronavirus cases.
Yeah, US stocks fell for the first time in 5 sessions yesterday. Investors started the week in somewhat of a cautious mood, with equities near record highs. S&P was led lower by real estate and consumer discretionary sectors. Energy, healthcare, pretty resilient. S&P 500 down 0.6%. Dollar strengthened against all its major peers, with demand supported by elevated treasury yields. Benchmark yields have been rising, just above 1.1% this morning. It's on expectations that US lawmakers will indeed ramp up stimulus efforts, igniting the debate around the reflation trade. Bitcoin grabbing the headlines once again. Prices slumped somewhere around 14% yesterday. This after the UK financial watchdog issued a statement that consumers of crypto should be prepared to lose all their money. So you can imagine that was somewhat of a nervous state of affairs for retail investors who've piled into Bitcoin at elevated levels. Bitcoin, $32,000 this morning, down from its recent high of $42,000. Opening calls on the European bourses looking positive this morning. Currently calling the FTSE up 1 point. DAX over in Frankfurt up 27 points. CAC40 in Paris up 4 points.
Yeah, I read quite lots about cryptocurrencies, and apparently the message is from adepts, you should hodl.
Hodl?
Hodl, yeah. I mean, it's a trendy word saying hold. A bit like, they have to be trendy.
Hold.
Yeah, H-O-D-L, hodl. Because just hang on to it, because soon it'll be going through the roof again, apparently.
Yeah, or falling through the floor. But it's a very volatile, asset class, but it's a speculative investment at best, one would suspect.
Well, it's just a shame for all these sort of small investors who have attempted in and probably haven't got the money to waste. I mean, if you're a large institutional investor, you can afford to lose a couple of million. But if you're sort of struggling and then you put all your money into Bitcoin and lose the lot, then it's not much help, really, is it?
Absolutely right. And there are elements, and and there are parts of a portfolio that perhaps can be assigned to a speculative investment, but should be a very small part of your holding. If it's a substantial or meaningful part of your wealth, then one would suspect cryptocurrencies is not the place for you.
Social media firms were hard hit yesterday on the back of Twitter banning Donald Trump, and sort of people are saying, well, it's freedom of speech. You've got to let these people say what they want, but...
Yeah, that's the real debate, isn't it? That's why they've been hit hard, because it means what sort of regulation will we see these social media companies getting in the future? Because in the past, they've sort of claimed, listen, we're a bulletin board, we're a platform, we don't make editorial decisions. When you ban the President of the United States from using the service, then it starts to look a little bit like an editorial decision, and then does that mean you're going to get hit with a much broader range of regulations? And I think that's what the market's trying to assess at the moment. But certainly big tech under pressure, backlash against social media sites, shares in Twitter, Facebook fell yesterday, rival Parler was also forced offline, Twitter shares were down 6%. Say banning President Trump permanently for risking incitement to violence, citing posts referring to riots in the US Capitol, removing one of Twitter's biggest accounts. Facebook were down 4%. Amazon shut down right-wing platform Parler's access to its servers. Google, Apple kicked Parler out of its stores, making it almost impossible to download the app. Tech giants trying to distance themselves from accusations that they helped fuel the violence. And remember, even before last week's violence, lawmakers, civil rights advocates have been pressuring social media companies to crack down on hate speech. I think in Europe, actually, companies can be fined if they fail to act on hate speech. But I say US companies have really gone down the route of self-regulation. This calls into question whether that will continue to be the case.
Yeah, I quite like the French constitution's stance on this, because, I mean, freedom of speech, okay, but not if you're going to incite racial hatred, cause personal injury to others, or incite a riot.
Yeah, the question is, yeah, who is it doing the inciting in relation to that? Is it the people who are spreading the news or create the platform to do it, or is it the people who are putting the messages on there? And that's where the debate falls, and whose responsibility is where it comes down to.
Well, perhaps there's a case for national regulation rather than Twitter sort of taking a handle on its own. You know, if a national government objects to an account, it should tell Twitter you've got to take that account down.
Yeah, but it's a global world, isn't it? The internet is not a national product.
There's still a certain amount of sovereignty, if I can bring that into the conversation.
Nice. Well, there is an element of that, but listen, I think it goes beyond that. So I think some sort of coordinated approach is what is required, but of course very difficult to achieve.
Been a terrible time for the cruise lines, and just sparing a thought for all the thousands and thousands of seamen who are still stuck on cruise lines around the world since the pandemic started and haven't been able to get off. But of course, no passengers, no dosh.
Exactly right, and Carnival's figures reflecting that, reporting a bigger than expected fourth quarter loss, $2 billion. The cruise operators are now brought to a virtual standstill by the pandemic. Its shares traded down 2% yesterday on the update, having lost 60% over the course of the past year. Carnival has extended its pause on operations until the 31st of March, said it was working to bring all ships back into service by the end of the year. Hopes a broader distribution of vaccines, cheaper testing will reign in the pandemic. Carnival said they finished the year with $9.5 billion in cash, has the liquidity to sustain itself through 2021, even in a zero revenue environment. That's why the shares have not been more hit, more decimated than that 60%. Cash burn remains really important. It expects to burn cash at the rate of $600 million per month in Q1. It's about $100 million more than in the fourth quarter. Prepares to restart its operations.
Yeah, it's a shame because he used to enjoy cruising, didn't he?
I think that's something else. No, it's not for me, it has to be said. That's more your age demographic. I wonder whether people will go back on cruise ships. That's the interesting thing, isn't it? I mean, it'd be interesting to see what the demand is. After that, you go back to the summer, of course, people wanted to jump on planes, they wanted to go on holiday again, so perhaps a strong demand for that. The question is, of course, that how long do we live with this virus? There's still some unanswered questions around the vaccines. How long does it provide immunity for? if the virus mutates, can it meet those challenges? And when you're talking about cruising, you are indeed talking perhaps about an older demographic that is more susceptible to the coronavirus, perhaps adding some further pressure coming through on the sector.
And UK retail sales register their worst ever performance since records began.
Yeah, it was a pretty miserable set of numbers. Perhaps no real surprise that markets have been bracing themselves for this. If you look at food sales, of course, they've been very strong. Beyond that, retail sales under a lot of pressure. The lockdown, of course, has played havoc with the retailers and demand for certain sectors, and came at an important time, of course, because that crucial Christmas period is when they do a lot of their selling. So no surprise, it's been a tough time for many retailers beyond the food sector.
Foreign exchanges, pounds made a bit of a recovery.
Yeah, pound against the dollar coming in at 135.5 this morning. Euro dollar coming in at 121.5. Can get just over 1 euro 11 cents for your British pound this morning.
Thank you very much. What's on the menu today?
A bit of homeschooling, a few client calls, writing an update to the global outlook, which I'll be publishing quite shortly, so enough to keep me going.
Are you giving little Henry economics lessons?
Well, I sit with him occasionally. Mrs. Potts tends to do it, but I tend to sit in occasionally, and then actually, you know, when things aren't precisely correct from the teacher, I do sort of intervene, you know. I do monitor things, basically.
You could write a book during lockdown, couldn't you?
Well, I could write many books.
Yeah, well, why don't you get on with it then?
Do you think I should?
Yeah.
The life and times of Henk Potts.
My impact on the global economy.
So that's a snappy title.
Right, talk to you tomorrow, thank you.
Leave it there, thank you.
Henk Potts from Barclays.
This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Leister has the top stories across the Riviera.
As the Var and the Drôme departments of France introduced a 6 p.m. curfew today, Prime Minister Jean Castex has said that while a third lockdown is not ruled out as a last resort against COVID, the current figures suggest that the new curfew is having a positive effect. Castex added that this coming week is crucial as far as the health situation is concerned. The Var and the Drôme joined 23 other departments in France, including the Alpes-Maritimes and the Bouches-du-Rhône, which had already moved the curfew forward from 8 p.m. to 6 p.m. Monaco's government has announced that a 72-year-old resident being treated at the Princess Grace Hospital for COVID has died. This is the third COVID-related death since the start of 2021 and the sixth since the beginning of the health crisis. In addition, 13 new positive cases of COVID-19 were identified on Monday, bringing the total number of residents affected to 1,070. 26 people are currently hospitalised and 116 are being followed by the Home Monitoring Centre. Meanwhile, on Monday, France saw a further increase in the number of people hospitalised for COVID for a second consecutive day, with 24,812 new admissions. In addition, 310 people died from COVID in the past 24 hours, bringing the total number of deaths in France to 67,750. In a press release on Monday, the Ministry of Health announced that 180,351 people have been vaccinated in France among priority cases, with the vaccination campaign inviting on January the 18th all of those over the age of 75 to be vaccinated. Registration is now open on the government website. And the government will hold a Health Defence Council tomorrow, Wednesday the 13th of January, ahead of the government's press conference on the health situation, which is scheduled for Thursday. The World Health Organization has warned that the fight against the coronavirus is far from over, adding that the collective immunity against COVID-19 will not be achieved this year, despite vaccines being distributed in many countries. The organization stresses the importance of continuing to apply protective measures, such as physical distancing, hand washing, as well as wearing a mask to control the pandemic. According to France's health insurance, 2,500 employees in France have filed for sick leave online for suspected COVID without going to see a doctor. The system allows only private and public employees who cannot work from home to make the declaration online following a checklist published by the Ministry of Health. Cases are then, to avoid abuse, followed up with two or three phone calls over a 7-day period. In addition, the Prime Minister has said that from January the 20th, each individual declared positive will be offered a home visit from a nurse. 21 people have been arrested in France and Corsica as part of a financial investigation into suspected members of the so-called Petit Bar criminal gang involved in international money laundering. The recent arrests at the weekend follow a wave of arrests and searches which took place on September the 28th in Corsica and Switzerland. Investigators seek to dismantle the Petit Bar's international money laundering networks. According to figures put forward by the Daily Le Monde, some 48 million offshore and real estate investments have enabled the criminal group to launder money. And finally, at least 50 countries committed to protecting 30% of the planet have taken part in a global summit on Monday aimed at protecting the world's biodiversity. The event, organised by France, the United Nations and the World Bank, launched a programme called PRISODE, which French President Emmanuel Macron presented as an unprecedented international initiative to prevent the emergence of zoonotic diseases and pandemics, which is already mobilising over 400 researchers and experts across the world. The move reportedly comes as scientists suspect that the coronavirus that first infected people in China last year came from an animal source. Other leaders at the summit included British Prime Minister Boris Johnson and Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. China was represented by its vice premier, and they agreed that collective efforts are needed. Another initiative announced at the summit involves a new coalition of Mediterranean countries working to better protect the sea from pollution as well as overfishing. And Britain's Prince Charles launched an urgent appeal to private sector leaders to join a new investment alliance targeting $10 billion by 2022 to finance nature-based solutions. Finally, at the start of Monday's One Planet Biodiversity Summit, French President Emmanuel Macron pledged to invite young Africans rather than their political leaders to a key France-Africa summit. Macron made the pledge during a video call with the actor Idriss Elba, a goodwill ambassador for the United Nations. He had asked to speak to the French leader at the start of the summit in Paris.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
Football, it was won third round tie in the FA Cup last night. West Ham were 1-0 winners of Stockport, and the draw's been made for the fourth round. Here are the details from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Andy Barwell at the BBC Sports Centre. The Premier League team West Ham United struggled to a 1-0 win away at non-league Stockport County in the last of the FA Cup third round matches. While the BBC's senior football reporter Ian Dennis was at the game.
And certainly it has been a contest that West Ham United have had to dig deep to find their way through to the fourth round and a home tie with Doncaster Rovers. But a late goal from Dawson was the telling blow in the rain and the mud, as here at Edgeley Park, that late goal from Craig Dawson sees the Premier League side through.
Well, the draw's been made for the next two rounds of the competition, and there's one standout tie from the fourth round of the FA Cup. Manchester United would have been wanting a nice, straightforward game.
They'll be at home at Old Trafford against... Let's see who you get for this one.
Number 23.
Against number 23, Liverpool. Ooh, that is a big one. Peter, what have you done?
Big game.
Well, Premier League side Wolverhampton Wanderers will face the only non-league team left in the competition, Chorley. Pep Guardiola takes Manchester City to the fourth-tier side, Cheltenham. Spurs face Wickham Wanderers. The holders, Arsenal, go to either Southampton or League One's Shrewsbury. Elsewhere, there's more fixture chaos in the English Premier League. Tottenham Hotspur will now play Fulham on Wednesday after Spurs' original game at Aston Villa was called off because of coronavirus cases in the Villa camp. Fulham's scheduled home match against Chelsea on Friday will now take place on Saturday. Villa's match with Everton has been switched from Saturday to Sunday. And for more football news on the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Sounded like something out of the Far Show, Liverpool. Ooh, suits you, sir. Oh, well, that was a turn up for the books.
Certainly was.
There was one game in the Scottish Premiership last night. Celtic and Hibs drew 1-1. There are three games in the English Premier League tonight. Manchester United can go top of the table if they win at Burnley.
Ooh. Will they, though?
Morning, Stuart.
Yes.
I think they will.
Okay.
Sheffield United against Newcastle.
I'm going to go for Sheffield.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that's a very bold prediction.
It is.
How many points? They got two. Newcastle and Wolves against Everton.
Everton.
Draw. Rugby Union, the European Champions Cup and the Challenge Cup have been suspended by the organisers after the French government ruled its clubs should not play in the competitions this month. European Professional Rugby says it's been left with no choice but to cancel matches scheduled for this weekend, as well as the 23rd of January. The EPC said it hoped to reschedule games while discussions continue with the French government. The organisers of the Six Nations, which is due to start next month, are in discussions with French officials in a bid to convince them it's safe for matches to go ahead. And in Formula One, Cyril Abiteboul has left his role as Renault team principal. The 43-year-old Frenchman leaves as Renault rebrands as Alpine for the new season. Fernando Alonso will return to the sport for the new team to replace Daniel Ricciardo, who's moved to McLaren. Mr. Abiteboul thanked the team for trusting him for many years, particularly with the relaunch and reconstruction of the team in 2016. Here's the marine weather forecast for coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Almerah Sea in the VAR. The general situation is a depression 1,013 millibars over the Tyrrhenian Sea and high pressure 1,030 millibars building over southwestern France. Winds are west-southwesterly, force 2 to 4. The sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,017 millibars. And the outlook for Wednesday, clear skies, force 1 to 3 variable winds, calm seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are southwesterly, force 3 to 5, locally force 6. The sea is slight to moderate, locally moderate. Visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,016 millibars. And the outlook for Wednesday, clear skies, force 4 to 6, southwesterly winds, moderate seas and good visibility.
Riviera Radio, weather.
Plenty of sunshine again today with light variable winds, top temperature 11 degrees, overnight lows 4 degrees on the coast, 2 degrees inland with clear skies. Wednesday and Thursday, mainly fine, highs of 11 to 14 degrees. Better get my budgie smugglers on.
No, thank you.
I haven't got any.
Good, just glad to hear it.
Just to relieve you of the set that rather unpleasant image. Finally,
well, France Info reported on the fact that your ham sandwiches would now be confiscated on Eurostar coming from the UK a few weeks ago. Well, apparently they are one sandwich short of a picnic, is the headline. Dutch police officers have sparked fury after officers were filmed laughing at a British truck driver while confiscating his ham sandwiches in line with post-Brexit import rules. A welcome to the Brexit, sir, one of the officers says mockingly in the video of the incident. As the driver pleads, can you take the meat and leave me the bread, please? Footage from Dutch television showed the border officials confiscating sandwiches and other foodstuffs from drivers entering the Netherlands from the UK. The EU does not allow for meat products, milk or dairy products to be brought in from countries outside the Union for personal consumption. With Britain having left the EU on January the 1st, the rules now apply to people crossing the channel.
Yeah, it's interesting where these stories are sourced from, because that was a far more aggressive take on the story I've got, which is the same one, but didn't say anything about laughing in their sleeves or anything like that.
Have you seen the film?
No. Just they're going to take them all. A driver asked the officials if he could keep the bread, and one said, no, sorry, everything will be confiscated. Welcome to the Brexit, sir. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sure you could wait until you cross the border. Well,
could you just eat it there?
Eat it on the ferry. What, eat it in front of them, you mean, before they confiscate it?
Before you confiscate it. Waste of food.
It is a waste of food. But it is the way.
It is the way.
The new rules.
Tuna. Can you have tuna fish sandwich?
No fish.
No, oh, okay.
No.
Spam. No,
don't
no
start
spam.
About fish.
Oh, cranky.
You're up to date.
Jam. You could have a jam sandwich. Yes, you could. You could have a jam sandwich.
I don't know. I think you might have to check that, you know, with the EU first.
Oh, okay.
Importing processed fruit or something.